Well, we sang it, which means we prayed it. I choose to be holy, set apart for your will. Do you mean it? It's something that we often sing these songs and we're not, well, I should say I'm not sometimes fully engaged. And those are powerful words. I choose to be holy. The frustrating thing is I can't do that. I really can't. All I can do is submit my will to God, who makes us holy. Amen? Well, it's a submission to him. That's why it says, I choose to be holy and give myself to you, because you alone can do that huge job for me. You heard the expression carpe diem, right? What's that mean? Seize the day. Seize the moment, yeah. And but I've got another one for you. It's carpe ocasio, and it has nothing to do with any politicians at all. It's just another Latin word that means to seek the occasion or the opportunity. So there we go. We're going to talk about that today, and I want to just read a couple of scriptures. I want to kind of introduce the topic a little bit and move into John chapter 4. First, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. To the Christians, the Apostle Paul writes these words of wisdom. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every ocasio, every opportunity, because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. Colossians 4, 5 and 6. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every ocasio, opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It's a matter of living faith, living as faithful people, drawing on the strength of God, choosing to be holy, choosing to live according to his will. So these passages that I introduce with are in God's word, are significant apostolic directives to the church, as if the Apostle Paul or Peter might visit here today and say, grab every opportunity, carpe ocasio. So we have instruction reminding us of our mission and not to forget to lay hold of opportunity to engage the kingdom. That means in our dialogue and relationships with other people, within the body of Christ as well, so that we may be edifying to them and always in everything we say and do, as best we can, leading them to God, helping them to think about God and his purposes, helping them to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ saves us so that we can live forever and that we can live holy lives today before him. Being conscious of that helps us, carpe ocasio, to be mindful to seize every opportunity to live for him. So we'll talk about that today and how Jesus demonstrated that in a very important occasion. The best way that we'll be certain to be appropriately, living appropriately and effectively for God, is to live in the constant desire to do his will above everything else, above anything else. So this is what I want to plant, and then we're going to develop this in your heart, okay? I want to be available. I want to be alert. Do what God wants me to do every moment. And I want to seize every opportunity to serve him or to serve people in his name. And that's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. And it's something that Jesus demonstrated for us. Title of one of Soren Kierkegaard, my favorite author, favorite old author, Soren Kierkegaard. His monumental classic is to purity of heart is to will one thing. Purity of heart is to will one thing. The book is a valuable analysis of the process of weeding out all of the competing things, motives, desires that keep us from devotion to God. Weeding them out. You read that book and you're really challenged to weed it out. So if there were one thing that marked Jesus' life more than anything else, it was his passion to do the Father's will. We're going to look at John 4. So if you have your Bible or you got your phone and you've got the Bible on it, why don't you turn to that? We're going to be looking at the first, we're going to look at 42 verses in there. I'm going to read it from the Living Bible today. But the story will close with Jesus telling the disciples, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. My sustenance, my very reason for being, my raison d'être, is to do the will of him who sent me. That's a model for us. Jesus said, by myself, I can do nothing. Wait, this is the Lord Jesus said, I can't do anything by myself? It's exactly what he said. He had relinquished all this divine power and authority and was living his life as a human being to identify with us. And he said, he admitted, I can do nothing by myself. Well, how did he get the strength to do the things he did? He said, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Single purpose, single-hearted, single-minded. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me, the Heavenly Father. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, it is not those who say to me, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. In the garden, Jesus said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. This is going to be hard to go through with the crucifixion. And I'm asking you, God, if there's any way to take it away from me, take it. And yet, not my will, but yours be done. So we're going to listen in on Jesus in a unique and real life situation and learn how to live following his will. Here we have a story where Jesus and the disciples are on the way to Galilee from Judea. I won't try to draw a map for you or anything, but it's a pretty good trip. It's about 100 miles to go the way they normally went, which was around, across the Jordan, around and then up to Galilee, in order to avoid going through Samaria. Samaria. That's where the Samaritans lived. The Samaritans, the Jews thought, were half-breeds, not dedicated to God. They were compromised people. We don't have anything to do with them. So Jesus decided, well, we're going to go through Samaria, not around it, as we typically would. It's not just a shortcut. He's been tipped off by the Father. There's some ministry here that I want to send you to. Now listen to me. This is what we're going to get at today, is that God is standing ready to plant seeds in your mind about what he wants you to do. Are you listening? Will we listen to God? That's all it takes to be instructed of him. So we're going to listen in on Jesus, listening in on God. Jesus said, we're going to cut through Samaria, go straight toward Galilee. The shortest distance between two points is what? Straight line, that's right. Unless, of course, it's under construction. We know that. It is clear that Jesus knew it was God's will to go this way. It had to do with what was going on there in Judea. and making a strategic move to clear out. He had to leave because things were getting hot there, and folks were getting really upset with Jesus, which was going to happen, but this was too early. How did he know that? The Father told him in his spirit. He's listening to the Heavenly Father. So he knows he's got to leave, but he also knows he has to go through Samaria. He knew it wasn't time to stay and fight. It was time to leave. The exciting part about following the will of God is the thrill of never really knowing what's next. We will know when we need to know, but not too early. That's kind of exciting, really. And believe me, that even in the 21st century, for us mature Christian people, there's a thrilling ride ahead. There's the possibility for a very exciting edge of your seat life. Just trust God. If you're willing to do his will, you must follow his leading. Now I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, which, by the way, is easier to read, but it's a good one. It's a good translation. The original Living wasn't that great, but the New Living is really pretty good. So just listen to the story, will you? We've got about 42 verses here, not 42 voices. All right, John chapter 4, and it's small print. I didn't even realize that when I grabbed this one. Okay. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than even John did, though he himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he set out for Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria. Well, no, he didn't have to. He chose to. Normally, we'd go the other way. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob had once given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Would you please give me a drink?" He was alone at the time because the disciples had gone into town to get food. Oh, the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift of God, the gift that God has for you, and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you water, living water." "But sir, you don't even have a rope or a bucket to draw water from the well. This well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water I'm speaking of will soon become, this water from this well will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." Jesus told her, "Why don't you go get your husband? I don't have a husband." Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. For you've had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth when you said, I have no husband. Sir, the woman said, you must be some kind of prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. Well, that probably made her angry. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and truth. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then his disciples came back. Well, they were shocked to see him talking to a woman, let alone a Samaritan woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her, or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God. I'm going to repeat this. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. I'll stop there in that point of the story. I want us to really recognize the fact that Jesus has been led to this situation, which no one could ever have predicted, let alone the woman, that she was going to meet the Messiah at the well that she goes to every day. There are things lined up for us by God, ready for us to step into in order to get his will done. And it is going to be done through those who say, Lord, I choose to be holy. I choose to listen to you. I choose to be available to you. How did Jesus know that ending up at Jacob's well at Sychar was the will of God? Some people say, well, he just knew in his knower. I don't know what that means. It kind of makes sense. And he did. He knew in his knower. He was passionate about hearing the Father every step he took. So he knew he was in his will wherever he was. This explains the enigma of him. Remember the story about Lazarus when they asked him, Jesus, to come because Lazarus was sick, and he delayed and delayed and delayed until Lazarus was dead? Then he went. Why would Jesus, the epitome of all mercy, wait until Lazarus died? Well, we can answer it quickly and say, well, he wanted to raise him from the dead. True, but how did he know to do that instead of just going and healing him as he had so many people? He heard the Father. And the Father was whispering to him. God was whispering to him, hold on, I know you want to go. I know you want to go, but I've got something greater. He chose to be holy, to hear God's will. Here in John 4, he's received instructions to travel a path that he never would have taken before. We can't wait to see where we'll take him, who he'll meet, and why. To the degree that we are likewise passionate for God and devoted to doing his will, we will be clear when we're in the middle of his will. Because we choose to be holy. We'll have his wisdom. The scripture promises we ask for his wisdom, we get his wisdom. There's no arguing this thing. This isn't a negotiable thing. You ask for God's will, and he will give you his will. If you're his child, you're going to hear it. You're going to know it. If we listen. Jesus listened and heard the God's will for the moment. Furthermore, the woman and her friends were brought to the threshold of God's kingdom because Jesus listened to the Father. Fascinating what can happen when we just listen to instructions and God gets his work done through us. See, Jesus is a model here for us. He ended up in this unique place beside Jacob's well with this unique woman, this Samaritan, and her unique needs because he listened and he heard what the Father was doing. And he moved in perfect concert with his will. I would love to be able to do that. I confess I'm distracted. But I'll also say this. The more I'm in his word, the more that I pray, the more that I devote myself to listening to God, the more perfectly I know what to do. That's just the way it is for every Christian. Following God's will requires attention to some nuances. I say nuance because that's the only way I can describe the feelings that we get from God, the way he speaks to us uniquely as people with a history. He knows us. Jesus extended kindness to this woman. He overruled customary precautions. He read that person's personal history to her. He spoke to her of her motives and feelings, including her guilt, and helped her come face to face with her sin. He taught her with sensitivity and momentarily with kid gloves. Kid gloves. You know what that is? It's lambskin gloves. Very tender and soft. He treated her that way. Then he brought the truth, a confrontation. You know, most of us are okay. God, if you lead me to somebody to start up a conversation about Christ and salvation and that sort of thing, I'm good with that. But don't make me confront them about anything. I don't want to stir up any hornet's nests. I don't want to argue with anybody. I don't want to make anybody feel bad, okay? I certainly don't want to make them feel guilty. But what if God told you to do that? And you knew it. And you pushed it aside. No, I don't want to do that. But he will. He did to Jesus. He led him to confront this woman with her living situation, of which she was embarrassed, or she would have admitted herself. He conversed in keeping with the Father's will. Everything he got from the Father, he gave to this woman. And we say, well, I would do that, but I'd kind of like to know in advance what's going to happen so I can prepare. God says, no, I want to use you and I want to surprise you at what things you can do for me that you never thought you could do for me only because you depend on me. I'm gonna make your eyes pop out with the things I lead you to, the things I give you to say when you trust me. You won't believe it. In the whole process here are underlying goals that we have to bear in mind. What God is really doing with us, as he did with Jesus in this scenario. He has two goals all the time. God has two goals all the time. First, to minister to people, saving lost people because he loves them. And he asks us to love them for him and with him. Love motivates our mission no less than love motivated the mission of Christ. This is what he did for us. He came to us. One day we came to faith because we recognized he was confronting us with our sin. He was telling us our condition and offering us an opportunity to be forgiven, to live forever with him, to know the fullness of the Spirit of God in our lives. And we said yes. Now there are other people who are waiting for that as well. So the first goal of God in everything that he calls us to do is to minister to people in his behalf. God reconciled us and he made us reconcilers, ambassadors for him to other people who are not believers at this point. Love motivates that mission, all of it. The second purpose that God has in everything, he's determined to make us better. Better members of his kingdom. Better students of his will. He's determined to answer our plea, Lord, I want to be holy. I want to be what you want me to be. That's his goal in everything, along with reaching others through you. And hallelujah. This is immense how personal God is, that he would move in you, instruct you in what to do, to minister to others and to increase your faith in him. His plan is to simultaneously mature kingdom people through his creative curriculum of personal growth into the fullness of the spiritual nature of Christ, and simultaneously to reach others who are yet to enroll in that school, people to whom he plans to send you as a recruiter. So we need to be alert to our kingdom calling as he leads. Carpe ocasio. Where is God leading me? What opportunity is obviously in front of me according to the will of God? How am I going to know that? Well, I'm going to have to listen carefully. I'm going to have to work at not being so distracted by the world and by my will so I can hear his. God has set goals in place. Our maturity and new Christians coming into the kingdom. And his grand purpose, he creatively engages his people to get these things done. His people are you and me. All those people who sang that song, Lord, I want to be holy. Do you really? Do you really? Do you really want to be that close to God that when he speaks, you instantly respond? Do you really want to have the joy of knowing you are serving the living God when you communicate with people? Do you really want to grow as a Christian and become Christ-like more so every day? Well, that's his will. And may his will be done. If we rely, or they really intend to do his will in our lives, we must listen. We live in a busy world. I mean, there are so many distractions. It'd be kind of nice to live back in Jerusalem in those days. You know, there's not that many distractions. Well, we got a bunch. Most of them are television and all that sort of thing. But he calls us to saturate ourselves in his word, in his wisdom and his love, so that we're prepared to hear him and respond to him. Listen keenly to him. One ear to what you know. That is, I know as a Christian, I want to live for him, and I'm going to watch my P's and Q's, and I'm going to try to develop a holy lifestyle for him with his power through me. But also another ear tuned to the immediate. This is possible, folks. Listen, I am newly dedicated to doing this very thing, to being so alert to him that I can hear every movement. Ah, come on, Rich, you can't do that. Oh, yes, he can. Yes, he can. Am I willing? Do I mean it when I say I want to be holy? Saturate ourselves with his word so that we know his wisdom. We'll know the general direction we need to go. And as we go, as we walk, he'll direct our steps. Remember the Psalms? It's all over the Psalms. Have an ear to the immediate. There was a man who was listening to God. I'll tell you who he was. He's a black man. He lives in East St. Louis, and he has a business that involves a truck. Here's the scenario. Charlotte, my wife, has a friend named, I forget her name now, what is it? Audrey. I got my notes. Audrey. Audrey's a wonderful lady. She lives in the nursing home. She can't get around. She can't drive. But she loves to go places, especially go places with Charlotte. So she picked her up one day, and she wanted to go to St. Louis. She had some shopping to do in St. Louis. Had to go to St. Louis. And Charlotte began to drive down through East St. Louis. Not typically what she does, but she did. And she got down near the Casino Queen in that area, and the roads aren't that great. And she was talking to Audrey, and Audrey was talking to her, and boom! She hit a pothole, blew the tire out. Almost a brand new tire. Blew it out. There they are in the middle of East St. Louis. Unable to move. Two women in their 70s and 80s. And a man comes by with a truck. And he smiles and he says, "You're in some trouble here. Could I help you?" "Yes." "Do you have a spare tire?" Charlotte says, "I don't know. Maybe." "Yeah, we did." And he put it on, and he blessed them. And I know God got him there. I don't know if he was listening to God or God simply directed him. I have a feeling he was listening because he was an awfully nice man. Said she'd get a great deal. Was he listening? Had he heard? Was he ready? A lot of people got flat tires right now. I mean, their lives are messed up. They need somebody to come along, help them put God's spare on their lives. Impromptu prayers draw their life from our quiet times of deeper listening to God. The scriptures we read give us handholds in that spur-of-the-moment situation. We easily re-enter the quiet place where we'd meet with the Lord, and our faith is still garden fresh. And he speaks to us. He whispers to us. "Gee, I never knew that. I never heard that. You were too busy." His spirit, his own spirit, the spirit of God, is within you as a Christian. And he's whispering to you. One of the things he says all the time is, you're a child of God. You're a child of God. Read Romans 8. He said, you're a child of God. Don't forget. He loves you. You are a recipient of his mercy. And by the way, I've got a few other things to tell you. There's somebody down the road with a flat tire. There's somebody to your left who doesn't know the Lord. And I've got you here near them. Would you go? Some of us say, I don't know if I want to hear that kind of direction because I'm not sure I could do it. I want to challenge you, each of you and myself, myself first, but each of you as well. Make a deliberate effort this week to pay special attention to whatever scriptures you're reading, whatever prayers you're praying, whatever you think God may be saying to you, just listen carefully. I mean, shh, listen. Well, the traffic's really heavy. No, pull over if you have to. Listen. What is God saying to you? Besides, I love you, you're my child. I want to use you to my glory. What specifically is he saying? You may not get anything, but if you're closer to God in that moment, that's a good thing. Or he may say, go this way. Go through Samaria this time. Go through East St. Louis this time. I got something for you. I got something I'd like you to do. Are you there? Will you respond? Well, I don't know if I trust those voices. Sometimes I say foolish things to myself. Well, you can trust him. Listen to him and do what he says. See how God may bless you. He gets his will accomplished that results in his glory when his people listen and obey. We, his people, have the joy and satisfaction of helping to build the kingdom as we listen and obey. Engaging in a ministry of saving lost people, growing in our love for him, doing his will, and we mature in that way, become more like Christ every day. Well, let's see. I wonder who is your next Samaritan? Any ideas? Listen. Listen. Who is it that needs the Lord, that he's planning to use you in that communication? Do you want to be holy? Lord, I choose to be holy. When we love him and we love his will be devoted wholeheartedly to him and to carpe ocasio, laying hold of every opportunity for him. Let's pray. Father God, this stuff is incredible. This is awesome. That you would be so personal with us, that you would take us by the hand and lead us into the very act of ministry on your behalf. I think some of us are having a hard time believing that. Help us to get over that and have the experience of you leading us to something where it's clearly you. And then give us that as a habit. Of always seeking you, always listening to your spirit, not going to the right or to the left, but exactly where you tell us to go. And wonder of wonders, the people we will meet there, the situations that will be ripe for our influence for you, and how we'll grow. These are exciting. Help us, Lord. We know your will. is that every living person in this world would know that Jesus Christ has died to pay the debt of their sin. He wants to straighten people's lives out. He wants to bring them into your fellowship, into your eternity in heaven. He's done that for us. What will we do for them? We thank you today for the gospel that saves, makes people whole, puts their lives in a whole new regimen, where they're saying honestly, I want to be holy. Lord, help us to hear you as we dedicate our ears to you and begin to listen. Seriously, listen. We expect great things. We once heard you say to us, we believe, once heard you say to us, I want to make you a child. I want to give you eternal life. Responded. And here we are, your children, ready to help others to do the same. So Lord, empower us. In a week from now, may we all have testimony of how you spoke to us and how you used us. We give ourselves to that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there anyone here?